That's right, Sandy. I love that.
She's awesome.
Man, she's awesome. She has the sweetest voice ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it's like she's going to make you a casserole.
Yes.
I love it.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
I wish she'd make us a casserole.
I know, man.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Or hot dish. I think they call it hot dish. My mom's from Minnesota. And if it's, you know, you just throw things in a pot, you cook it, and you call it hot dish.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what they do at church? They bring in
the
hot
dish? Yeah, absolutely. So there's potluck, and then there's hot dish.
Oh, man.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Wish I had a hot dish.
Hot dish.
That's my wife. She's
sometimes
a hot dish.
Sometimes it's just noodles and pasta sauce and some salt, and it's hot dish.
All right. We going to start this show or just ramble on?
Oh, is there a difference?
Is there really a difference? There's not a difference.
We have absolutely no structure ever.
I know. The only structure we have is Jessica doing the show.
And the platform under our feet. That's about it.
That's it. The best we can.
I agree with you. Jessica is our producer. Yeah. She's our structure.
She's the structure.
Thanks, Jess.
That's on the tree. All right. We going to do this humdinger or just talk to each other?
Let's do it.
Good morning, Northwest Arkansas and all of our friends out there in America. My name is Mark.
And I'm Josiah, and you're watching or listening to Two Nuts on a Tree, our garden show podcast.
Man, so, we got a good show.
Yeah, we have a
real good show.
Yeah, a really, really good one today.
Yeah.
These are some of my favorite topics to talk about. How to get color.
Yeah.
In your landscape.
Yep.
Is your landscape looking boring? Is it looking dry? Is it looking torched?
Does it look like us? Hey, Maltzy, the reason why we're doing this show is because of Chris out there who manages the nursery, and a lot of people have been wanting color in their landscape. So,
yeah. And, you know, a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about today are many of them, not all of them, but many of them are drought tolerant and just...
Heat tolerant.
Great performance
through
these hot summer months we're about to get into.
You know, the shrubs that I like the most are the ones that can tolerate the extreme heat, like over 100 degrees, but yet they can handle the extreme cold, negative 30.
A lot of these are negative 30 degrees.
Exactly.
Huge.
And as we go through these, I want to talk about a lot of people want native shrubs.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's not skip over that.
Yeah, and I'm going to be talking about placement of these in the landscape.
Yeah.
So where you can put these in the landscape, where they're going to do best.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that as well.
You know, people don't know this. We don't advertise that we do landscaping. You know, we really don't need to.
No.
Josiah does the landscaping here at our nursery. And so I asked him to comment on the uses or why people would want these and what location, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of... A lot of questions that people have.
Yeah, whether border plant or, you know, something just set alone on its own to be a specimen shrub or tree, whatever. So, yeah.
Okay, so what are we going to do? Time to apply?
Let's get into time to apply. Time to apply what you should be applying to your garden or landscape right now. Our first one for time to apply is actually our planting mix by Royal Gold. Royal Gold, a great company, but their planting mix... Mark, we've started using this for all of our trees and all of our shrubs. So anything we plant, we actually use the planting mix. And boy, does it smell good. It has coconut husk in it.
Dude, it doesn't smell like coconut.
It doesn't smell like coconut, like you're thinking organic. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It smells just earthy, beautiful, and it works really good.
All right.
So we've been using that a lot.
Are you out there at the landscape? Oh, this is good.
The whole crew. Every time we open a bag, we're like, oh, that smells good.
Yeah.
You know, we're used to other things, so that smells pretty good. Good change up. But this is great to be using in any planting that you're doing right now to be amending the dirt that you already have, turn that dirt into beautiful soil so your plants are really happy.
It is so fertile. Let me mention something. It's so fertile that they actually have to put on there the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium content.
Yes.
That's how fertile this is.
So they want you to know, for sure. And then also, time to apply Spartan. Have you been out in your landscape and you're trying to enjoy it, but you keep getting bothered by those mosquitoes? I want to focus on time to apply for mosquitoes. And it works for other things.
That's a good one.
Your first one is Spartan Mosquito. This is awesome. You just put a little bit of lukewarm water in this, fill it up to the line, shake it up a little bit, and hang this in a tree away from your yard, away from your sitting area. This is going to take care of those mosquitoes. I have used this personally myself. One of them covers half an acre, and so two of them will cover a whole acre. And this has what? How many in it?
Two.
Two of them.
Yeah.
So enjoy a mosquito-free yard.
Put one in the very far corner of your yard and the other one in your neighbor's yard.
If you're really dire trying to get rid of those mosquitoes because you have some company coming over, we've got the Yard Fogger by Fertilome. This is awesome. You're going to be spraying this in your gathering area around before you have guests over.
We use that every time we do outdoor movies.
Absolutely.
And when we go camping. You know the fungus gnats?
Oh, yes.
The gnats that hover right above and get you on the... ankles.
Where's our music?
It's awesome.
Okay, we need that again.
Yeah, we became boring really fast,
okay,
Jessica.
The mosquito yard fogger, this is great. So you can host people and not mosquitoes. Also, sayonara. This is also great for mosquitoes, but it also works for far more than mosquitoes.
Oh, it kills everything.
Oh, my.
That's why it's called sayonara.
Sayonara. See you later, bud. Yeah. So you're going to hook this up to a spray. Up to your hose. It's going to spray, mix it for you. Or we have the concentrate you can mix and put in a pump sprayer if you'd like. But this is also going to take care of ants, fleas.
Ticks.
And we use it for ticks,
jiggers,
all sorts of things. Hook it up to your hose, spray your yard. See you later.
That's the lazy man's
sayonara.
I like that.
Also, time to apply. It is warming up, and so are the weeds and crabgrass in your yard. So they are probably getting ready to take off. This is Weed Out by Fertilome with Crabgrass Killer. This is a great one to use. Our nighttime temperatures have come up, so this will work awesome in your yard. You can hook it up to your hose, go through and spray your yard or spot spray if you'd like. It's going to kill all those pesky weeds and crabgrass, get them out of your beautiful lawn so you can enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked that one out because nighttime temperatures have come up, so that'll be effective. And crabgrass is starting to germinate and grow.
Oh, yeah. Well, that concludes time to apply.
Yeah. That's a good job.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Yeah.
About time you do something.
Take the compliments from you when you get them, you know?
Yeah. Finally, what's today's date? You did something productive.
Yeah, I know. Put 21st. That in the calendar so we could look back on that.
Right. All right. So, hey, you know, what comment? What?
Yeah, we got comment section. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The comment section. This is where you comment and we answer your gardening or landscape or, yard questions on the show. Or if you just have comments you want to talk about or things you want us to talk about on future shows, that's also where we get our content. And so this is from you.
Hey, where can they make these comments?
Absolutely. So if you're listening or watching on YouTube, you can actually go down to the comment section and leave a comment. Or also on Facebook, we do get some of these from Facebook.
Yeah, we do.
And then we also, if you are listening on a podcast streaming service, we're on quite a few of those. Anywhere you listen to a good podcast, you could go to RockwellFarmsNursery.com and you can leave your questions or comments there. Email us here at the show and we answer those for you.
Hey, I will tell you this, we've got a lot of good comments about the guys installing our trees. Zach and Bart.
Oh yeah, they're rocking and
rolling.
Getting
a lot of good comments.
Yeah.
I think we ought to start paying them.
They're worthy. They've been volunteers this whole time?
Yeah.
I don't think so. When was the last time you dug a hole?
Oh. All right, what's your first comment?
Yeah, no kidding. Change that up. Hey, my yard. This is from Crystal. My yard has been taken over by Bermuda grass. What is the best weed killer or granulars to get rid of it? Thank you.
Bear Advanced.
First off, I don't think they have a granular for Bermuda.
No.
Because it has to have contact.
It's only a hose and spray.
Yeah. So the spray needs to have contact with the foliage of the Bermuda grass so it can get into its nervous system and kill it. So you want to use a spray. I don't think I've ever seen a granular.
Dude, you got the bottle right over there.
Thanks.
Did you know that?
Thanks.
You forgot it.
So this is BioAdvance. It's Bermuda grass control for lawns. And so important thing to know when you're spraying this, again, this just hooks up to your hose. It's really easy to use. It's going to kill that Bermuda, leave your other grass alone. Now, when I say it leaves your other grass alone,
but yeah, your fescue.
If you have fescue, it's going to yellow it, but it's going to bounce right back up in, what, a week or so? So not a real big concern for that. Just if you see yellowing, don't freak out. Just be patient.
My neighbor has Bermuda grass.
Yep.
It drives me crazy. And so I use that personally.
Yep. Creeps into your yard.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, you know, I get a little angry and just a little bit more out there. Keep your Bermuda off my lawn, man.
You spray in their yard? Oh, that's terrible. So I would use that BioAdvance. That's going to kill the Bermuda grass. Leave your other grass alone. Real good stuff. Mm-hmm. Real good stuff.
Ask my neighbor. What is
that? This one is from Jane. What do you suggest for 4 to 6 hours of sun in your flower bed that will multiply and flower? 4 to 6 hours.
Multiply.
Multiply, like, kind of spread. Or,
and how tall she want it?
Well, it's for flower beds, so that can vary in size. Typically, in flower beds, I would, if you're wanting to stay in that range, I typically stay anywhere from, you know, 8 inches to 4 foot tall, depending on what kind of flowers you're getting. Something that will multiply, you know, daylilies or lilies is a really good one.
All right, and if she wants something low growing, I'd go with the Subulata phlox, creeping phlox.
Okay, now 4 to 6 hours.
Good spring color.
That's a great one, actually. A really good one. Another one would be dianthus.
I come up with good ideas every now and then. Don't act so surprised.
4 to 6 hours, that's a great range. That is, I would consider that part sun or part shade.
Yeah.
And so there's actually a whole range of plants that you can put in there that will multiply. Now, if you're wanting something like ground cover, the creeping phlox, the subulata, or the dianthus is amazing one, which is carnation.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and those range anywhere. My favorite is like that magenta in the dianthus.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that magenta?
Yeah, doesn't that one have like silver-like foliage and the red bloom?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that red garnet.
There you go.
Yep. That one's a really, really good one.
Or if she wants something really low, she can do a juga.
A juga is a great one as well. Absolutely. But if you're getting, if you're checking out where your sun is right now, it's going to be different from what it's going to be in about a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you may be getting way more sun there here in about a month.
If she gets like 3-4 hours, it depends on if it's in the morning or evening, too.
Yeah, definitely.
I bet she's morning. Dude, talk. Plan of the week, a stilby.
Well,
if she only gets 4 to 6 hours in the morning.
You just gave a spoiler alert, man.
All right, fine.
A stilby,
cut that out, Jessica.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next one. That's a great question. Thank you, Jane. And then this one is from Sandy Harmon. Hey, Sandy.
Oh, Sandy.
How you doing, Sandy?
Yeah.
If you don't know who Sandy is our rep from Proven Winner Spring Meadow.
Yeah.
Color choice shrubs.
Yeah. She has a special place in our heart.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. Hot plate queen.
It's hot dish or casserole, you know?
Right.
Okay. This one is great show, guys. My question is, who's the better fisherman, Josiah or Mark?
Hey, I can answer that.
Go ahead.
Josiah's a better cat fisherman.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a better trout fisherman.
Definitely.
Right?
We complete each other on that one.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have our own recipes.
We've gone catfishing together, and then we've also gone trout fishing
How many catfish you catch last week?
We caught 8 of them.
Eight.
And then the biggest one was let go. It got off. You know those stupid metal chain stringers?
Yeah.
That thing pulled right off of
there. I told you to double hook it in the gill.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was a stupid mistake, man.
We were doing that again.
Good on that one. So kind of frustrated. Well, you know what? Mark's got more experience, and I think I've got more vigor.
That's right.
That concludes the comment section. Again, if you're new to the show, you could go down below on YouTube, comment your questions, or go to RockwellFarmsNursery.com.
That's right.
And email us at the show.
Mm-hmm.
Plants of the week. Can you turn that up?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Plants of the week.
I bet it's a stilby.
I wonder.
There you go.
Plant of the week is a stilby. This one is beautiful.
What is this, a ball game?
The blooms are a little bit light right now, but this is getting ready to explode.
Yeah, it's
the
awesome.
Flowers on this is kind of like a big feathery reed. Mm-hmm. This will grow and fill out really nicely. Again, this has just started to bloom. But the one we've got in front of you, this one is Peach Blossom. A nice, beautiful, soft, peachy pink. And it is beautiful. This one does great. To full shade. So this is very versatile for shade if you're wanting to get color. Mm-hmm. And then we've got different colors. There's one with burgundy purple leaves out there with a red or purple flower.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also got white, and then there's a hot pink one out there.
The way I like to use stilby is I like to intermix it with Heuchera and your hostas.
Yeah.
And then you have a stilby.
Yeah.
You know, to me is like a blooming fern because it has fern-like foliage. And so it gives really good interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so then your hostas accent this. And then your Heuchera will give like your chartreuse yellow color or your burgundy color, different colors in the foliage.
Now, in a landscape, I love to use this one kind of as a backdrop. In my opinion with this one looks amazing in mass planting. And so by doing three to as many as you want in a nice backdrop clump, it's absolutely beautiful and stunning with those hostas and coral bells in front of them. Totally agree with you on that.
Cool. All right.
That's plant of the week.
So what's the meat and potatoes of the show?
Getting color in your landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sandy should like this. Boy, I tell you what, so we got a lot, and so we need to run through this pretty good. All right.
Yeah, we do have quite a bit here to go over. So getting color in your landscape, if you're trying to get color in your landscape, also want things that grow really nice and easily, this is all proven winter color choice shrubs.
Yeah.
And so right now we've got these in the quart pot, and then we've also got them in the number three pot.
Dude, people can save a lot of money on the quart pots.
Yes.
What we do here at the nursery is that we sell them in that quart pot.
Mm-hmm.
So people can save about $18.
Yeah, and they're on sale right now.
You'd save $18 a shrub just by buying the quart.
Yes.
And that quart will look this size in the fall.
Or even sooner, like on your butterfly bushes.
Yeah.
Man, so they start in that quart. Or even the double flowering... that rose. Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we got in that court, and that sucker was about 3 foot tall and wide.
You sent a picture of that to Sandy, and she didn't believe you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also using Royal Gold fertilizer with it.
That is true.
Can add to that.
You cheated.
I did. I always do.
So what we have... We kind of went in alphabetical order. Imagine that.
Uh-huh.
Abelia.
You're so organized.
I am.
Abelia. Yeah,
Funshine.
Yeah.
Funshine. See, I like Abelia. It's not one of your big favorites.
There's a time and place for everything.
All right. Well, proven winter Abelia, it'll go down to a negative 10 degrees and also take care of that extreme heat.
Yeah.
That's why I like Abelia. Funshine's really good because it has that cherry, yellow, orange foliage.
Yes.
See, when I look at plants, I always look at the foliage first.
Mm.
Foliage is very important to me because that's where you get your color all through the season. All
right? Yeah.
And then the bloom, the pink flowers, is just a bonus. Okay?
Yes.
So Abelia, and these, some Abelias get too big and out of control. These only get like 2 to 3 foot, rounded, boom. Now, beautiful shrub.
Now, I do want to say, if those of you who are listening on a podcast, if on our producer, if you want to check these pictures out of the shrubs and flowers that we're talking about, you can go to YouTube and you can actually watch them, because our producer is putting those pictures up on the screen.
Yeah, she'll put a really nice picture of it in mature size.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So another Billy is your Sweet Emotion Blaze.
Okay, that one I do like.
That one smells good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's smells a like really jasmine. Pretty one. The
jasmine.
Blaze.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That one, negative 30.
Yeah.
Dude, you can grow that in your freezer. It has orange-red foliage in the fall.
In the freezer. I don't think so. Disclaimer, no, you can't.
What's the temperature of a freezer? It's pretty cold.
It's pretty cold.
It's orange-red fall foliage. So it's kind of like, you know, Moses's burning bush in the landscape.
Yeah. What I want to talk about is Aronia. So Aronia Berryscape.
Hey, that's a misunderstood
shrub. By Proven Winter. People, I agree with you.
People don't know about that, so go ahead.
Aronia. Okay, what I love about Aronia is the...
It's not erroneous. It's Aronia.
Aronia. That's what I said.
Well, it's not erroneous. That's when you make a mistake.
Okay. Go ahead. Hey, so the berryscape, what I love about this is the beautiful, showy berries going into fall.
Really?
Absolutely beautiful.
For the birds?
Uh-huh. And then also the foliage. It has some beautiful foliage, and it's also heavy flowering. Now, this one in the landscape, this can get a little bit bigger, 5 to 8 foot tall and about 2 to 4 foot wide.
What color are the flowers?
They are white.
White?
Okay. White, yeah. But it will have kind of some pretty coloring foliage, and then it gives way to those beautiful berries.
Is that all right? So that one I'd put out in, like, you could put it out in the wilt, like, in a tree line or something like that. It gets pretty big, 5 to 8 foot.
Yeah, yeah.
And just let the sucker grow.
I like this one on the outskirts of the yard. Its biggest interest is going to be going through fall into winter. And so you have those beautiful berries. Mm. I love using those, cutting those, and putting them in arrangements on the table. Really festive.
For your wife?
Really bright. Yeah, absolutely.
Call or her for myself. You do
that. anyway.
Azaleas.
Yeah. Well, I'm not done with that one. That one also does well in full sun to part sun. And so this one does great on the outskirts of the yard if you're wanting something nice and showy.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Azaleas.
Azalea.
Two of them that we really like is the, Sweet Reward Coral?
Yes.
And Sweet Reward Pink. Sweet Reward. Why do they call it Sweet Reward?
Because it is sweet, and there's definitely reward to planting this one. So the coral has that beautiful corally color in the early spring into mid-spring.
Yeah,
and
they smell good, though. That's why they call it Sweet Reward.
Yes, absolutely. But this is the amazing thing about these azaleas. They can tolerate to negative 30 degrees or negative 20 degrees.
There you go, another freezer
That's
plant.
That's huge, yeah. Mm-hmm. Put it in the freezer.
Hey, those are both native, too. People that want native flowers, I want to mention that.
Going to
They're native in North
azalea.
America.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So, and then the Sweet Reward Pink, that's also another really good one, a lot like the Sweet Reward Coral.
Yeah.
But again, to negative 20 degrees, which is pretty important for azaleas in our zone.
Next one I really like are the barberries. Proven Winter barberries, you can't beat them.
We could go on about barberries all day long.
They're freaking outstanding.
Yeah. Deer resistant.
Yeah.
Beautiful color.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to get color in your landscape if you're needing it. Boom.
Yeah. On all their barberries, the word that I'd use to describe all of them as a whole is vivid.
Yeah.
Vivid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here at the nursery, we can put them anywhere in the back because it just draws your attention, and all the customers just immediately seem to go to the barberry because of the bright color.
Yep.
One of the ones I like is the Sunjoy Fastnio. This is a new variety by Proven Winter. It's like the regular Neo that they had, the Sunjoy Neo.
Yep.
But this one is so bright, kind of red and orange. But this one grows at a faster rate. So if you're needing a barberry to just instant gratification, go for the Sunjoy.
That one gets like, and this is another thing, it only gets like 2.5 foot by 2.5 foot. It's like a ball of color. Yeah. That's why I like them.
Yeah.
Toto. Beautiful. Toto is a purple one. It's extremely small. It's like 1.5 foot to 2 foot. So I like the Toto because it's a deep purple.
Mm-hmm.
Purple's hard to find in the landscape.
Yes.
And it can tolerate the heat, you know, 200 degree Fahrenheit, and it's just fine.
Now, in the landscape, I love using the Toto to line a sidewalk or border plant. It actually works pretty decent as a border plant.
Mm-hmm. Purple's hard to find.
Yes, can be, especially with the foliage.
You know what? That'd really accent your neon orange yellow.
Neon orange yellow.
Yeah, you're.
Oh yes, fast. Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, purple and yellow. You
always.
Can't be purple.
Yeah, no, that will not clash.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like Elvis Presley garden.
Sunjoy Gold Pillar. Now, this is actually my favorite of the barberry. You'll hear me say favorite a lot today,
yeah, okay,
by
why?
The way.
Why is your favorite?
So this one grows upright. So rather than bushing
in
and making
column?
A circle, yeah, it'll grow kind of in a column. This one is great in the center of a bed, or if you're trying to draw attention to both sides of the sidewalk, maybe by an entry, this one's perfect
oh, that's
for that.
Cool. Yeah, it'll have yellow foliage, which turns orange in the fall.
It is a bright yellow. It's almost a neon.
Chartreuse.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. That's a great one.
What else we got? Mini maroon.
Yeah.
That's a purple one that turns red. I don't know whether it's purple or if it's red, really. Oh, it's like a mixture.
It's kind of a mixture. Yeah, the mini maroon.
Yeah.
That's a really good one as well.
Per red.
Also for a border. And now this one also gets to 30 minus degrees.
Minus 30. And it, once again, it gets the Sunjoys get 2 to 3 foot rounded habit.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to trim them. You just plant them. And they'll kind of like trim themselves. It'll just be a ball of Sunjoy.
And they love, love, love the full hot sun.
Yeah.
So wonderful for full hot sun.
Burn them up.
Once they get established, they really just take care of themselves.
Yep. That's why the Sunjoy really red, mm-hmm. I call that my red hot Sally. Because, man, that sucker is red.
Hot Sally.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Red. Yeah. So, and it has like a yellow chartreuse ring around each one of the leaves.
Oh, yeah.
So you get red and yellow in the same plant.
Oh, yeah.
You got, you know, comes with sunglasses. Once again, it'll just be like a 2 to 3 foot ball. Don't have to trim it.
Wonderful.
That's why I love them.
Betula. Betula.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, this is Sesky Gold. This is actually
a birch.
Yeah. So this is a birch. It stays pretty small and compact, about 2 to 4 foot tall mm-hmm. and wide. Now, this one is cold hardy.
Yeah.
Super cold hardy.
Yeah.
This one gets down to negative 50 degrees. Is that not crazy?
Dude, that's deep freeze.
Yeah. Come on, Alaska.
Negative 50.
A negative 50 degrees. So this one, you do not have to worry about this one getting bit by the winter. You can plant this guy, and he's heat tolerant. He is left
cold
alone.
Tolerant.
Plant him, leave him alone. He is super happy. But this one starts off the new growth on this birch.
Yeah.
Is kind of orangey red.
Red orange, yes.
And then it turns to this bright, bright mm-hmm. Yellowy chartreuse green. Yeah. And it kind of just stays
a
in
cool
a nice
plant.
Mound.
That's a cool
plant. It's a wonderful plant.
All right. What we got next? I can't even pronounce that. Bignonia.
Bignonia. So this is a crossvine.
It's native.
Yes, it is native. Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So in the landscape, this crossvine is absolutely a climber. This is going to take off. It can actually grow 15 to even up to, I believe, 30 foot.
Yeah.
And so you really want to make sure you've got room for this crossvine. But it's called Dress to Thrill. And it has these beautiful, beautiful flowers on it that attracts all of the pollinators. It smells absolutely wonderful.
Was
it's
it
native.
Like AC/DC?
Yeah,
Dress to Thrill.
Dress to Thrill. And it's an evergreen.
Yeah.
So it attracts foliage on it.
It attracts butterflies and hummingbirds.
Uh-huh.
So you can just plant this, you know, just go along your fence.
Yeah. And then it has orange-red trumpet-shaped flowers, and then they have bright yellow eyes in the center. Cool. And it is just beautiful, beautiful.
That's worth
it. Yeah.
Planting.
Oh, yeah.
Buddleia.
butterfly bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, see, all right, they have mastered the butterfly bushes. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you why. They have the dwarf, they have the medium size, and then they have the tall.
Yeah.
So first, let's talk about their tall, 4 to 5 foot tall. That's your Miss Molly. Miss Molly's really good because it gives you all, you know why I like butterfly bush?
Yeah.
It gives you color all summer long. All summer long.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. From the end of spring.
End of spring all the way through
mid-spring,
fall.
Mid-spring, yeah, going into autumn. Mm-hmm. And so what I love about the butterfly bush, especially from Proven Winter, is they have so many variations of the butterfly bush.
Yes.
Okay, so they're so versatile in the landscape. I use these a lot in the landscape. They're also drought tolerant, as all get out.
Yep.
So once they get established, there's not a lot of work you got to do to them. Attract amounts of butterflies.
That is amazing. Crazy. That is amazing.
And then the continuous color from spring going into fall.
All right, your Miss Molly has red flowers on. It's 4 to 5 foot tall. So what would you do? Would you put that on the far end of a landscape?
I would.
You can see that for miles.
The Miss Molly varieties, I like to use those as kind of a filler. If you've got an empty space, you're needing color, it's full hot sun, throw one of those Miss varieties in there, and you can't go wrong with that, especially if you're needing a little bit of height out of them.
Yep.
Yep. Really good one.
Next, you have your Miss Ruby.
Uh-huh.
That one won a lot of awards because it's fragrant.
Yes. So the Miss Ruby and the Miss Molly, they look pretty similar, just a tinge of different color. Mm-hmm. But they have,
you're right,
same varieties.
The Ruby is more of a carmine, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the color of a cool car.
Yeah. And it's pretty bright and showy. Mm-hmm. Those cones of flowers that it puts off are just unbeatable.
Then Miss Violet has the purple, blue-purple
kind
flowers.
It's kind of a purpley, I would say it has a tinge of red in it, but it's kind of a purpley, beautiful.
Bright purple.
Uh-huh. Very showy.
All right. I'm good with that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now I want to talk about the Puckster. Pucksters, they're dwarf ones.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking only 2 foot tall.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how they did it, but they're only 2 foot tall.
So these ones I really favor as well because they don't get very big. So if somebody is requesting, hey, I really want something that attracts butterflies, but I don't want anything that gets big, because most of the items that do that will get fairly large, okay? Mm-hmm. And so the Pugster varieties, like your Pugster Amethyst or Pugster, your Blue, that one is awesome. Wow. They're going to get huge cones, but it's on a petite, small shrub. And so in the landscape, I love putting these on a corner of a flower bed or corner of a walkway, somewhere where people are going to be walking. For one, they smell good. Two, they'll get to walk through and see the butterflies that it attracts. And then three, it's not going to overwhelm and overtake that sidewalk.
So if somebody had a big landscape, you can pretty much border the front of their landscape with these Pugsters.
Goodness, yes, and I've done it.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So your amethyst is like a purple flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Your blue is blue. Blue is the most popular one that sells. I do know that.
Amethyst is kind of like a soft pink, soft purple mixture. And it is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I really love the blue because it's hard to get blue in the landscape.
Well, it won all these awards.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's like stupid crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And they get to negative 20. And so, again, they're drought tolerant. Put them anywhere where it gets full hot sun. It's going to be so happy with you.
All right. And all these Pugster varieties do not require deadheading. They drop themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as the flowers are concerned. So you have your periwinkle, of course, is, you know, purple.
Mm-hmm.
And then your pinker, which is, pink?
Yes.
And
it is pure pink.
The pinker is like a honey scent. I don't know who at Proven Winners goes through and smells all these, you know?
I want to know who names them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dressed a thrill.
I know. I think he's a hippie.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
He must be. He's naming plants.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way around that.
I think he's an old hippie.
Pugster White. Pugster White is a beautiful one. It's, again, it's a compact like the Pugster like all the Pucks varieties, but it has that beautiful white cone on it. I love using this one specifically to soften something. If I've got too much color in an area and everything's too much color, you throw that in and it will automatically tone it down and soften that area.
All right. So we've talked about the butterfly bushes that are 4 to 5 foot tall. That's the Miss variety. And then the Pugster, which is the dwarf one, 1 to 5.
Yeah.
1.5 to 2 foot.
Yeah.
Now we're into the lo and behold.
Yeah, which is kind of your kind of a small to mid size as well. So it can get a little bit bigger than the Pugster.
About 2.5 feet.
But it looks more like your traditional butterfly
except
bush.
Except dwarf, like but half doesn't get the size.
Exactly. So it's not going to have those Pugster big leaves like the Pugster has or the bigger cone. It's going to have a smaller cone and smaller leaf like the regular butterfly bush. But they give a lot of color and still a lot of bloom.
Like a miniature old fashioned. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And for in the landscape, there's always place for your lo and behold varieties because they don't get that big. So
yeah, and they're non-invasive. Your old fashioned would be kind of invasive.
Correct.
And the proven winter
non-invasive. Not,
yeah, none of them are invasive.
So yes,
that's
that
important.
Is very, very, very true.
And the blue chip junior is blue and it's fragrant.
Yes.
I don't know what it smells like, but I guess it smells good.
Like most of your butterfly bushes. Kind of that honey, sweet smell.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay.
Your purple haze. Okay.
Purple haze.
Purple haze.
Yes.
What?
This is another super, super, super. I would say this one out of all of them is one of your most drought tolerant. And so I like this one specifically if you have an area in your yard that you can't reach the water hose out to enough, throw it over there. Get some color over there. Enjoy your and just enjoy yourself with
whoever
that.
Named these loved rock and roll.
They have to.
Purple haze. Purple haze.
I think that's purple rain, but
I know,
that'll work.
See what I'm saying? I gotta meet this guy.
Come on, Prince.
I bet he has long hair and did acid. All right.
Let's move. Gosh.
All right. Purple haze.
Yeah.
Ruby chip.
Hey, you said it. We were thinking it.
Your ruby chip. Now, that's extremely bright. You can see that one for miles. Once again, it comes with a pair of sunglasses.
Well, you know what? I want to talk about this next one, butterfly bush, called Mop Top. This is a newer variety that they've come out with, Mop Top. It is a cascading. The blooms just cascade down.
You ordered this one.
Yes, I did, and I was pretty ecstatic about it. This is one that Sandy actually talked to us about when we went to Olive Garden.
No, yeah, that's right. She bought us dinner.
And so, yeah, she did. Thanks, Sandy. That was good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mop Top has these light kind of purple, almost like, or they're more of a pink, almost like the amethyst bloom kind of.
They cascade out.
Yeah, but it just, instead of it going straight up like most of them do, this one is just going to droop down over that cone of beautiful flowers. And again, this is just like all the rest of them, the drought tolerant. But I like this one. This one would be great for a retaining wall, going up over a retaining wall. Now, it won't completely
droop
down that wall.
But drooping down?
Yes, but that drooping down or an elevated area in your landscape. This is great. So that way you can enjoy those flowers because they will droop down. Enjoy those flowers at their fullest.
What color is it? What does it bloom?
Kind of a pinkish, purple, kind of like the amethyst.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for our butterfly bushes.
Oh, man.
I love how they have, you know, small, medium, and large.
Yes, me too. Yeah. They've got a butterfly bush now for every circumstance in the landscape.
All right. Let's talk about purple glam.
Purple glam or it's pearl glam.
Pearl glam.
Which is beauty berry. It is purple. Yeah. So beauty berry. Love this
one.
That's
another one you like.
I love this one. So it's got dramatic purple foliage on it.
Okay.
It'll have small little flowers, but the most important part
the berries.
Is the interest going fall and winter.
Yeah.
Is those beautiful purple berries. This one is awesome. Another great one to use for go out and use for arrangement. But what I like about this one is that the interest is closer to fall and winter. And mm-hmm. so when everything else is starting to look a little bit boring and drab, this Pearl Glam Beauty Berry is going to be out showing in the garden.
Yeah, because
it draws your attention away from the other things.
It has purple to black foliage, does not?
It does, yeah. Okay. Pretty dramatic.
That's very dramatic.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really pretty in the landscape. Now a great place for this one. I like putting this one around maybe an evergreen tree. Maybe you have a green giant arborvitae. Putting it kind of a row around it, because mm-hmm. going in fall and winter when that is still green, next to that purple, those berries, it really draws your eye.
How big does it get?
I believe that this one, it gets around, I'm going to have to look for that one.
I think it gets pretty big.
5 to 8 foot tall, yeah.
All right, so that's a pretty sizable shrub.
It will get a pretty decent size, but it is very forgiving with trimming.
Okay.
So if you need to trim it.
Hard to kill.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. If you need to go out and trim it, feel free to. It will bounce right back.
All right, Calycanthus. Also the sweet shrub.
Oh, yes.
All right. Your sweet shrub, I like because it gives you color throughout the summer. It has a big, you know what, a magnolia tree, how it has that big
yeah.
bloom.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This has the same thing except the red.
Oh, yes.
So it's like a softball size red bloom.
Yeah.
And it kind of comes up like a tulip.
It kind of reminds me of like a water lily.
There you
almost
go.
Just right. popping up like mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
So this is another one that you need to give room. It'll get anywhere between 5 to 10 foot tall.
Yes.
But, but you know, there again, it blooms all summer.
Yeah.
And then you just take, you know, be out there and say, ooh, what's that big red bloom?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's super cool. And it's one that, like you said, you can go out and clip it and put it in water for your wife.
Yes, I would agree with you mm-hmm. on that one. The blooms, the blooms are pretty showy for that. When it does bloom, it is definitely worth getting some cuttings off of.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know what? In all honesty, okay, it does bloom in late spring, and they're mm-hmm. fragrant. You could take those along with the bloom of a regular magnolia, which blooms late spring,
mm-hmm.
make a nice little arrangement.
Red Zeppelin.
Oh, my word. Okay.
They named a calycanthus, so another sweet shrub named Red Zeppelin.
I'm telling you.
What do you think?
I think the guy was a pothead. That's what I think. Go ahead. Red Zeppelin. It's another sweet shrub.
This one has glossy burgundy red foliage. This is another really pretty one. But this one gets 4 to 8 foot. Tall.
Yeah, ain't
wide.
Much difference between 5 to 10 and 4 to 8, though. It gets big.
If you're needing something a little bit smaller, it'll only be about 2 foot in range smaller. That one's also a great one, but because it has that bright, showy foliage.
Yeah. And it has, what does it have, orange red flowers to it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another showy one. I like it. Late spring, early summer.
Yeah, orange flowers. And it's native. It's a native species.
Really?
Sweet shrub is. Yeah, absolutely it is.
And we got more native plants than I knew.
Isn't that wonderful?
I want to talk bluebeard.
Go ahead.
Bluebeard.
I like bluebeard.
You know, if I was like a rock radio guy.
Yeah.
What are they called? Guys that are on rock stations.
Yeah.
You know, I named myself Bluebeard. Everybody, this is Bluebeard.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I think it's awesome.
We're doing a podcast. We could name you Bluebeard on here. Yeah.
It's better than Caryopteris.
Yeah, especially when you do Time to Apply.
Yeah,
with that rock and roll music in the background.
So Beyond Midnight is one that I really like because, you know, I'm really glad we've done this. We mentioned fall color on a lot of stuff. You cannot get better color than the Midnight Blue. Bluebeard.
Yes.
It's one of my favorites, and I'll tell you why. In the fall, it blooms.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Secondly, it blooms blue.
Mm-hmm.
Blue is very hard to get in the landscape.
Yes.
So, and the blue is a very intense blue. It's not light blue. It's a dark blue. The midnight, that's why they call it midnight blue.
Now, this one is a little bit different with size, because this one gets about 2.5 foot tall.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there's other varieties and stuff out there that get pretty good size and get really big, but this one doesn't. And so if you are needing something again, I would pair this up with the Pearl Glam,
yeah,
Beautyberry, because of that fall color that it gives.
Because a landscape is nothing but an orchestra. You want something playing all the time.
I call it succession flowering.
There you go.
So you want flowers, if you are doing especially like cottage style gardening, you want the flowers to succeed each other. So when this one is out of bloom, you want something coming up and getting ready to bloom right after that, or in bloom while that one's going out. And this is a great way to thoroughly enjoy your landscape throughout the entire season.
You know what? If I owned an Airbnb,
uh-huh,
I'd have you do the landscape.
Yeah,
because you'd have something going all the time.
Absolutely.
And people would always comment about the landscape. That's the first thing people notice when they're going to an Airbnb is the landscape.
We definitely think about those things.
I'd have you do it.
Yeah, we definitely think about those things. So we try to think of those things when we're doing landscaping about what is going to succeed this, but what is it going to look like each stage of the four seasons? Because we have four seasons here in Northwest Arkansas.
Right.
So, you know, in spring, that's an easy one. Summer, that's an easy one. But people don't know that they can have fall color and they can have winter color.
Right.
You don't need to settle for just sticks in the winter. We think about those things for sure.
So your bluebeard is deep blue against dark green foliage. And it's very striking in the fall.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Flowering quince, you got that one.
Quince, I love this one because it's just a good old farmer shrub.
And one, it kind of brings spring. When I see the flowering quince, it's like, ooh, spring's here.
In the spring, I'm looking for daffodils, I'm looking for quince, and I'm looking for forsythia.
Yep.
Those are the three main things I am looking for to tell me that spring's here, because it's like, oh, I can breathe now.
And quince used to have just single flowers, but Proven Winter has the double flowers.
And it used to be just plain old red.
Exactly.
So now we've got a few different varieties. We've got the Double Take Peach, which is a beautiful peach. Now, what I love about the Proven Winter varieties, I'm going to start with this because it's very important. The bloom time on their quince is a lot longer than your old-fashioned grandmother quince.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. So the Eternal White. It's not on this right now, but the Eternal White is one of my favorites because it kind of starts out kind of like a lime kind of white, kind of like that lime light color.
Yeah.
And then it changes to this brighter white as the bloom is going on. And so it's absolutely beautiful. But their Double Take Peach is awesome. If you want that peach color, because typically our spring flowers, you either have yellow or you have red or you have kind of that pink. This is a nice, true peach kind of orangey pink color.
All right. So there's the scarlet color, there's the white, and then there's the peach.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are outstanding color for the spring.
Yes. Now your Double Take Scarlet, that one again has a nice longer bloom time, but it's that scarlet bright red, different again from the old fashioned one because it's usually a single petal. This is a double flowering. So it's got high petal count and a lot longer bloom.
Well, and here's something that most people don't know is that the old-fashioned quince, they have small thorns on them.
All these are thornless. Yes, they are. That is, wow.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Yep, thank you.
I fill in the gaps.
And then what I also love about the quince is it goes to negative 20.
You can't kill it.
You cannot kill it. Does great in full sun, and it gets about 4 to 5 foot tall and wide.
Okay.
So.
Clematis.
Okay.
Now, for years, there's like 8 different clematises I've always gotten.
Just stuck with, because they're tried and true.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so then when you saw these clematises, like they have the fun yellow.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
He told me no at first, but now he likes it.
Well, yeah, because it's yellow. There is no yellow clematis out there.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the only yellow clematis I've ever seen.
Yes.
So if for y'all that don't know about clematis, it is a climber. A lot of people put them on fences. Typically, I see a lot of them on mailboxes, but they climb up really nice and they bloom late spring through the summer.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, that one also gets 6 to 10 foot tall. So it's perfect trellis size or growing up the side of the porch.
The more you trim, the thicker it gets.
Yeah. A trick for clematis, actually, we do every year. Once the clematis goes through its bloom, if you trim that sucker back, you can force it into a new bloom.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We do that every year with ours. And we have a, I'm trying to think of the name of it. I want to say the name of it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Nikki's a phlox.
Pink with the purple center of
Nelly.
The petal. Nelly. There we go. Yep. Yeah. Thank you. That's Nelly right. Moser.
It's the name of a cow. Yeah.
That one's a great one. Love that one.
All right. Then you have your sweet summer love.
Sweet summer love.
I know.
Sweet summer love.
A woman named that one.
Clematis.
All right, that one's fragrant, okay? And it has a cherry, cranberry, violet flower.
Yeah.
So we got that one because it smells good.
And the abundant of blooms.
Yeah.
And it's a
multi-bloomer.
Very low maintenance clematis. Mm-hmm. Very low maintenance.
All right, Clethra.
Clethra. Vanilla spice.
Yeah.
From Proven Winter.
That is such a weird name, Clethra.
So this is a summer sweet. This one has beautiful, beautiful white blooms that kind of cone up. Mm-hmm. Now, this one, I really, really like it because of the glossy, dark green foliage. But up against those white blooms, it is just... Wowza.
But then the foliage turns yellow in the fall, so it's kind of like a humdinger.
It is a showy fall shrub as well. Now this one is kind of like, I like using this one as a backdrop. Now if I've built maybe, let's say I built a berm in the landscape, I like using this towards the back of the berm.
Because it gets 3 to 6 foot tall.
It does get a little bit larger. But this one is just so beautiful to offset what you have going on in the front and kind of give a great transition point, if that makes sense. So I like to use this one in the landscape when I'm transitioning into a different part of the landscape that maybe looks a little bit different, because it kind of blends and marries those together with that white neutral flower. It
smells like vanilla.
Yeah, it does. So it is a sweet, sweet
smelling
flower.
I think that's why
they call
it vanilla spice.
A little bit like a little honey vanilla.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe a little honey vanilla. To me, the scent of that flower kind of reminds me of alyssum.
Alyssum, yeah. Yeah. I think the propagator there at Proven Winters, I think he's like injecting vanilla and honey in these, really.
Oh, yep.
All right. Let's talk about smoke
hybrid
bush.
Yeah.
Smoke bush is one of my favorite. I've always liked the smoke bush. And before, smoke bush has always been like a tree. Shrub.
Oh, I would agree.
Tree.
Yes.
And it got too big. All right. So what Proven Winters did is that kind of trimmed it down. Mm-hmm. And now they're only 46 foot tall. The Winecraft Black.
Yes.
Okay. The reason why they call it Winecraft Black is because, dude, it's so dark, it's almost black. It's so purple, it's almost black.
Yes.
It's very striking, and then it turns a brilliant orange in the fall.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
It has a purple foliage, and the reason why they call it smoke bush is because when it blooms, it kind of looks like it's smoking.
Yeah, it looks like there's a haze over the top of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that Winecraft Black, in my opinion, is the best for the landscape because it's just so outstanding.
Yeah, I like to use this one in the landscape as maybe a specimen and do some smaller planting around it.
Yeah.
Because it has color from spring all the way to fall, it has a very wide open window of interest. Because even once the smoke, the little flowering thing it does.
You still have the foliage.
You still have the foliage. And before that, you have the foliage.
And then it turns that orange color in the fall.
Yes.
And it's like a dwarf tree, 46 foot.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So I like also taking the lower branches off to make it into a small ornamental.
All right. Then the Winecraft Gold. Now that's a new one.
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay. And it's very dramatic in its foliage.
Mm-hmm.
It's gold, and then it kind of goes to a bright chartreuse, which is a bright yellow.
Mm-hmm. And, so if you like the smoke bush, but you want a little bit of variety, Mm-hmm. I would combine the both of those and plant them here and there in the yard.
Dude, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you could have like your two Winecraft blacks, which are deep, deep purple, mm-hmm. and then you could put the gold in the center out front.
Yes.
And then you can plant around that. And do that because the smoke bushes would spread the eye, mm-hmm. and then you plant around it. Oh, that's
a great idea.
I like that.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Cytisis.
I know absolutely nothing about that.
I love this one, and I think when we were ordering, you said
I didn't like.
No, let's not do that. And yeah. I said, oh, let's do that one.
All right.
So this one is Sister Rosie. This is Scotch Broom. Another name, Scotch Broom. A lot of people don't know about this, but it's kind of a nice wispy. I would consider this more in the area of perennial myself, of like a perennial flower. But it does grow kind of into a. You could call it a shrub, yeah.
Yeah.
But this one is nice and wispy, and it gets these beautiful flowers. I wish y'all could have seen or could see what we have here at the nursery.
Well, show a picture of it being mature.
Oh, yeah,
where you see the
right.
red, pink, and
Thank
yellow
you,
flowers.
Thank you, Jess.
Yeah. It is like a bouquet of flowers. And
it
is. That's why.
Now, this one in the bloom, it has from red, orange, pink, and yellow kind of all compiled mm-hmm. into each little bloom, and it will bloom all the way up the stems of this. And so it's a really, really pretty one. Another one that is great for an area that needs some softening, but you still want some color.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of the wispiness, kind of like a grass, like I would use a grass in a landscape, mm-hmm. I would use this one as well because it'll kind of give you that kind of wispy, kind of wild and free look in that area.
All right. Dootsie.
Oh, man.
We're into the D's now.
Dootsie. Dootsie, yeah?
Yucky.
Yucky.
Who did that one?
So it's a Yucky cherry blossom.
Right.
I really like this one, actually.
I like it because it only gets 1 to 2 foot tall.
Yeah, if you want a nice little low mounding, maybe you can use this as a border or a filler in an area because it only gets, it stays pretty small. But also, I would also use this as maybe even a ground cover. I would consider this as a ground cover, but this is a non-spreading ground cover, so it's going to stay where you get it. And then you'll have the beautiful bloom. And
the pink blooms in the summer. Uh-huh. Is it spring or summer?
It's kind of a late spring.
And then the foliage turns, burgundy color in the fall?
Yes, you are going to have some fall color. But this one is, again, it's a spring bloomer, but it is abundant blooms. Like when this blooms, the whole thing is nothing but pink. I mean, you can't, you'll hardly be able to see a twig. It is that covered in blooms.
All right. Darvilla. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Darvilla or Diarvia. How would you pronounce that?
Darvilla.
Tortilla.
Yeah. Kojak Jet Black.
Jet Black. Yeah. Yes.
I say Kojak.
I love this as, again, a backdrop of the yard. Maybe you're needing a divider. I'll get into what this looks like.
Right.
But maybe if you're needing a divider from the neighbor's yard or in an area that you don't, you can't really get water. This one does really, really well once it's established, it being drought tolerant, heat resistant, low maintenance. It will have some smaller flowers on this, but it's mostly known for its foliage. The jet black is a truly black
foliage. Well, it has the yellow flowers.
Fade.
It has yellow flowers against that really dark foliage.
It does. I favor this one mostly for the foliage. The yellow flowers are a bonus in my opinion. But I like this one for the foliage because this one doesn't fade. And then we have the
it's a good pollinator.
It is a good pollinator. The Kodak Spiced. This one a lot like the Kodak Jet Black. But this one kind of has a coppery red orange foliage to it, again with those bonus yellow flowers on it.
Oh, that's cool.
But this one grows really, really easily. Like Mark said, another one that you can't kill.
Yeah. Well, both of them are native.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can't kill them.
And it gets 3 to 4 foot tall.
Yeah, not too tall, not too small.
Yeah, it is a native species, correct.
So that spice gets the deep orange shades like a copper.
Uh-huh.
Has bright yellow flowers, and it's native.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Euonymus.
Euonymus.
I think Jessica's telling us their time's almost up for the show. All right.
Can we go a little over?
No. We might get hate mail. Yeah. So what we'll do is that we'll make two shows out of this because we knew it'd take a long time.
Yes.
But this is really important. I'm glad we are spending time on each one of them because people need to know, I mean, the difference in what Proven Winners has done for the landscape. They pretty much have gotten something for everyone.
Yes.
All right. So I tell you what, we'll start with the Euonymus when we get back. Next show.
That's kind of like a good cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah, because
Euonymus. You want to find out what Euonymus? End of book now.
Yeah. You want them more? We got Euonymus.
Awesome. Well, hey, we are so happy to sit here and talk with you. We really enjoy it.
Yeah, this is a good show.
If you're new to the show, you can also find us on anywhere you find a good podcast. We are on most all podcast streaming services.
We're not in the category of bad podcasts. Guess anymore. We're in the category of good.
We are moving up.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you can check us out there. Also, if you have any gardening questions, we do answer those on this show.
Yeah.
Go to RockwellFarmsNursery.com.
Yeah.
All right. We look forward to talking to you.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.